There's nothing more beautiful when it's working, when it's spirit-filled, when it's operating according to God's plan, like family. Since moving to North Carolina, or moving back to North Carolina, one of the things that Tracy and I have observed, difference in living in the city versus living in a community like this, is how tight families are. Families are strong when they are operating according to biblical and being led by the Spirit. There is a love in families that is thicker than blood. I mean, it's just tight. And you don't go messing with somebody's children, or they don't care if you are the preacher, she'll cut your head off. There's a perseverance of the family. Now, when the devil gets in there and the devil messes it up, I've seen the inverse as well. There's nothing as dirty, there's nothing as mean, there's nothing as crooked, there's nothing as slimy as family. But when it's operating according to God's design, there's nothing, because God invented it, there's nothing as beautiful, there's nothing as strong, there's nothing as loving as the family. That's why when we come to Romans chapter 8, God says, when you come to accept Christ as your Savior, He just doesn't put you into His country. He brings you into His family. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons or the children of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 puts it like this. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners. So some translate it aliens. But we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household or family of God. So we are family with each other, but with God Almighty. So this morning, three wonderful truths about being in the family of God Almighty. Sermon I've entitled, All in the Family. First truth is this. God, as our Father, He accepts us into His family. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now notice that word led. It means to follow voluntarily. It's the leadership of someone else. True believers follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Unbelievers follow the leadership of the devil. The Holy Spirit is given. Jesus went back to heaven. He left us, the Holy Spirit, to lead us, to guide us. Your relationship with God is dependent upon your willingness to follow the Holy Spirit. So when you put your hands over your ears, or you shut off your heart and say, I'm not going to listen to the Holy Spirit, then you are hurting your relationship with God Almighty. We want to be led by the Spirit. True for every person in this auditorium who's a believer. Problem is, we have flesh. And we want to do our own thing. And we are tempted and we just go our own way. There are two teams, and we talked about this in chapter 7. There's the Adam team. We're led by the flesh. We can't please God. We're on that broad road that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. But then we hear about Jesus. We hear how Jesus died on the cross as our substitute for our sin in our place. And we accept Him as our Savior, and we accept Him as our Lord. And we're no longer on the Adam team. We are put on the Christ team. The Holy Spirit is the leader of the Christ team, and He is given to you this verse to lead you. God is not trying to play hide and seek with you. God wants you to know very specifically what He wants you to do today, tomorrow, next week, next year. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to trip you up. God wants you to know what He wants you to do every day in your life. Told that when ships come into the harbor, there is a such thing known as the harbor master. And the harbor master will come up with his boat, and the guy's driving his boat. That harbor master will get off of his boat, and he will get on the boat that is coming into the harbor because he knows the details about the harbor. He knows the low parts. He knows the tides. He knows how to get every ship that comes into the harbor safely to the dock. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. God gave the Holy Spirit because you're family. And He wants you as a family member to be led by the Holy Spirit to get you safely home. Now here's the catch. Look back at the verse. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How do we know if you're a Christian? You're led by the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a catch there. You have to be willing to be led. You have to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit says, you lied. You need to go confess. Holy Spirit says, you're doing wrong. You need to stop it. And you have to be led. You have to submit. You have to give up your will. And one of the evidences that you are a believer, you are in the family, is you listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what your daddy was like. My daddy didn't have to yell at us. My daddy didn't have to say, Neil Jackson, if it got bad, Maze O'Neal Jackson. All he had to do was clear his voice. And we knew my daddy's voice, that when he cleared his voice, he had saw probably what my brother was doing, but he saw what we were doing, and we better shape up. Because we were Jacksons, and because we were Jacksons, it was Katie bar the door if we didn't shape up. That's what the verse is saying. Those that are led, those that listen to the Spirit of God, those are the ones that are the children of God. He accepts us into His family. Number two, look at verse 15. He adopts us into His family. Ye have received, ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. So when we come to Christ, God doesn't just forgive us. I mean, that's wonderful. He adopts us. So we go from being condemned orphans with no hope to adopted children with no fear. We go from being foolish wanderers with a guilty past to adopted children with a glorious future. It's an incredible deal. You're going to forgive me from my past and cleanse me from everything that I've ever done. Woo! But that's not all He does. He says, hey, yes, I'm going to forgive you, and yes, I'm going to cleanse you, but I want to adopt you as my own. What? Somebody needs to run the aisle in this Baptist church because He wants you into His family. Do you know anything about adoption? Adoption means to place as a son. Adoption was a common practice for the Romans. The Jews did not adopt. But the Romans, they did. Often, the Romans would adopt their own sons. When they came of age, they would have this big ceremony where they would adopt their sons, and that was recognizing their manhood and their citizenship and letting everybody know, he is mine, and he is a man, and he carries on the family name. Now, as adopted sons, there were three legal steps that would be taken. An adopted child was adopted permanently. He couldn't be adopted today and disowned tomorrow. No. He became a son of the Father forever. Secondly, the adopted child immediately had all the rights of a born child, a birth child, in the new family. So just because there was one biological child and one adopted child, the adopted child got the same thing, all of the privileges that the biological child did. And thirdly, the adopted child lost all the old rights of his old family. And he carried the right to carry, glory, hallelujah, to carry the family name from generation to generation to generation. Woo! That's us! I was carrying my old family name, the Adam name, the sin name, and he forgave me. He cleansed me, but glory, hallelujah, he adopted Neil Jackson into his family. He says, I want you as my own. You are mine forever, and you carry my family name. Amen. Here's what's interesting. An adoption is not something you earn. An adoption is something you receive. The active ones in adoption is not the children. The active ones in adoption are the parents. You are not adopted because you wandered into God's house. You are adopted because God went seeking after you. Amen. There are such a thing as unplanned parents of pregnancies. There's no such thing as unplanned adoptions. God loves you, and he adopted you into his family. Look on. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Some of you have battled with fear for decades. The reason you should not battle with fear is because you're part of the family of God. And as being part of the family of God, God is going to take care of his children. So when you are fearful and afraid, you're saying, God, you cannot take care of me in this scenario. Whatever it is, when you're having your worry attacks, when you're having your panic attacks, when you're whatever it is, you're saying, God, you are creator, you are sustainer, you chose me into your family. But I have a right to be afraid. I have a right to be panic stricken because you may be so great and so mighty. What is this? God has not given you the bondage. That's what fear does. It shuts down your faith. So you're not trusting in your all-powerful God who chose you, who adopted you. You are trusting in some make-believe. Someone said, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do. It won't take you anywhere. You're putting faith in your fears instead of faith in your Heavenly Father. Back to the verse. Not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You receive the spirit of adoption. The result, fear's not from God, adoption is from God. That's contrast. The result, we cry, Abba, Father. Now remember, Jews never prayed Father. They referred God as the most holy name. Jesus comes on the scene calling God in prayer Father. It was a totally transformation. But we have been adopted into the family. And as adopted children, we have all the rights of a biological child, so we can call God our Father. Amen. Do you realize how much God loves you? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, take attention, sit up and listen. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. There is no greater love in all the world. You say, yeah, but I got this issue. I got this issue, but you realize this is going on? Do you realize how much you are loved by God? And you're focused on that little issue? Who gives a flying flip? God loves you so much. It's not like you were born and He was stuck with you. He adopted you by choice. So when He loves you that much, you're stressed over what you're stressed over? We're not just servants in God's house. We're not just slaves in His vineyard. We're children in God's family. Last verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sin. If you get nothing today, be encouraged. God loves you. Amen. Number two, hallelujah. I got my hanky. We're adopted into His family. Number three, not only does He accept us into His family, not only does He adopt us into His family. Number three, He adapts us into His family. Ever been placed into a situation where you just didn't know how to behave? You just didn't know all of the protocol. You just didn't know the do's and the don'ts. I mean, you're placed in that setting and you got all those knives and forks and spoons and they're on all sides of the plate and you're like, where am I supposed to go with this? Ever been in that situation? God adapts you into His family. He accepts you. You're one of His own, but He's going to say, hey, I'm going to help you fit in. You're just going to be fine. Look at verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here's the way I would explain it. A lot of times when we're afraid, talked about the bondage of fear, verse 15, our father, our mother would be holding our hand, just speaking softly, you're okay. Daddy's got you. You're okay. That's what He's saying. The Spirit inside of us, He bears witness with us. He encourages us. He convicts us that we are His children. Look at verse 17. If children, one of the benefits of being children, we're heirs. We're heirs not of the Trumps, not of the Obamas, not of the Rockefellers. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The moment you and I accepted Christ as our Savior, we immediately inherited everything that God has to offer. And God offers us everything. Now you got to understand, a heavenly inheritance is vastly different than an earthly inheritance. An earthly inheritance, if there's more than one heir to an estate, each heir receives a share of the inheritance. Not so with a heavenly inheritance. There are no such limits. Every adopted child of God receives the full inheritance. So every child of God not only gets all that's coming to him, he gets all that's coming. So all that Jesus gets, you get. Some of you need to say amen to that. That means the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, God took personal responsibility for you. And every need you would have in this life and for all of eternity. Woo! And why are you fearing? You are heir. That means you belong to the family. That means you're taken care of from this day forward. Forever. Look at verse 17. Some of you are not going to like this. Children and heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer. Wait a minute, we're on such a roll today. Why you got to go and bring up suffering? We like adoption. We like love. We like heirs. Suffering. Not cool. Give that to the devil. Let him have suffering. We don't want suffering. God loves you too much to not allow you to suffer. He allows us to go through trials. He prescribes for us to learn when we go through tribulations, troubles, and injustices. Headaches and heartaches come not to afflict us, but to make us stronger. You've seen that little chick as it breaks out of that little shell. What you want to do as it's trying so hard to get out of that shell. You can say, hey, I got the ability. Let me go and just with my little finger just flick it to help him out. If you help him out, you're going to afflict him. Parents, one of the best things you can do for your children is let them go through times of injustices, difficulties, heartache, and have to depend upon the Lord rather than you running and bailing them out. Because you're not going to be there for them all the time. God is. If so be that we suffer. Look on the verse. That we may also be glorified together. It's true in sports. Suffering always goes before glory. You got to have those dog days of summer before you have the games and the victories. It's just the way it is. It's true with farming. You got to plant. You got to water. You got to fertilize before harvest. And I know nothing about birthing no babies. But you got to go 9 months. You got to go through labor. Heard some story before church about this girl being in labor forever and ever and ever. And I'm like, thank God I don't know how to do that. But you got to go through all of this before you get the glory of having that child. It's true with the pottery. That old glob, that old clay. That's why he allows us suffering. You say, oh, but it's hurtful. Oh, it's painful. Oh, it's just they're killing me. Glory is on its way. You just gotta remember where we started? Be led by the Spirit. That's what you gotta do. It's true with soldiers. Soldiers suffer. They're out there in the cold, the elements, they're shot up. But then there's glory coming. But it's suffering. You say, hey, it's tough, preacher. Nobody understands and nobody appreciates. God understands. Glory's coming. You are part of His family. Just, you say, how do I do it? Look back at verse 17 and I'm done. Verse 17. I left out two very important words. Verse 17. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer. Next two words. With Him. So that we may also be glorified together. When you suffer, God suffers with you. There's no pain that you've ever felt that God didn't feel the same pain with you. So parents, you say, my kids have gone astray. Yeah, God's hurting and crying with you. You say, I'm flat broke. God's feeling your pain. You say, my marriage is on the rocks. God is there with you. You say, my health, the doctors are saying they have no answers. And God is there hurting with you. You are not suffering alone. He is there with you. Amen. You say, what do I do? How do I go from suffering to glory? Look back at verse 14 and we're done. For as many as are led by the Spirit. God, I know you're here with me in this trial. I know you're here with me in this heartache. I know you're here in this great trial of affliction. Help me to do what you would have me to do. Show me what step you want me to take. Show me how you want me to respond. God, I am falling apart. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, God. Secret to the Christian life, being led by the Holy Spirit.